Wheat market volatility isn't going anywhere. That market is starting to look like a pogo stick. Trading ranges in corn and soybeans expanded a bit today, but not enough to break prices out of the sideways trading range. Livestock futures mark time. They're just waiting for direction from the cash market. And milk prices are, yeah, yuck. Back to last fall's prices.
Live from the land of gestating puddles via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Robin Schmall from Ag Dairy. And right after the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
So what do we call the offspring of puddles then?
I don't know. See, because the puddles have not yet been born.
Okay.
The puddles are being gestated.
Oh, you know? So
what
we're
I'm
looking
saying?
Forward to the baby puddles.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
We've got baby puddle birth pangs going on here in Sparkle City.
Oh, no, you didn't, Big Apple. Oh, he came with this that quick. They're called tadpoles.
Tadpoles. That's why he's in charge of this unit.
That's the only reason we let him push buttons right there. That's it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Got Davis Michelson with me. And we are going to be talking dairy today with Robin Schmall from Ag Dairy.
Yes.
Looking forward to the conversation with Robin. Of course, we're going to get to have a quick conversation with Oliver on Thursday here. So, you know what? If you don't mind, Davis.
You want to dive right in, don't you?
I want to skip the weather chit-chat and jump straight into the news so that we can save a little more time for Oliver.
Chip, volatility is alive and well in the wheat market. Sharp gains on Tuesday, gave him back yesterday, and got him back today. This is what the give and take of a supply-side scare in the middle of February looks like for the winter wheat market. Traders will be debating the extent of winter kill on the U.S. winter wheat crop for the next several weeks. March soft red winter wheat futures closed at the highest level of February, and the close above yesterday's high points to a test of resistance at the January 27 high of 672 and three quarters. July hard red winter wheat 13 cents higher, 646 and a half. July soft red jumped 12 and a half cents, 649 and three quarters. September spring wheat 7¼ cents higher, 656 and three quarters. Chip.
Yeah, and depending on how much of a deal they want to make out of the volatility in this wheat market, if you can get that March SRW contract above 672 and three quarters, there's not much standing in the way until you get to within a nickel of $7 in that market. So we've got to watch that one very closely.
Ethanol production in the week ended February 12 averaged 911,000 barrels per day, down 26,000 barrels per day from the previous week. That's also down 12.4% from the production pace in the same week last year. Ethanol stocks in the week jumped 501,000 barrels, but that's still about 500,000 barrels below the same week last year. Corn caught between wheat's upside pull and the weight of the bean market today. March corn futures 2¾ cents lower, 5.50¼. May corn down 1¾ cents, 5.49. December corn closed at 4.59¼, down 0.75 cents, Chip.
You know how we're just a couple of days away from getting some warmer temperatures, not only into the Midwest, but down into Texas, warm things up a little bit, you know? Yeah, we're just a couple of weeks, maybe let's call it a few weeks, away from getting week to previous year comparisons on ethanol production that we're going to blow away the year ago pace, but it's for a bad reason. It's because we're going to get into that time period where a year ago we just shut ethanol production down.
Well, soybean prices were under pressure with soybean meal prices once again working to the downside. Bean acres are projected at 90 million acres for 2021 with corn acres at 92 million, according to USDA chief economist Seth Myers. That estimate sent the signal that current prices have done enough to push bean acres to 90 million.
Yeah.
That's about 500,000 above the pre-average or the average pre-forum price guess. Many market watchers say current new crop bean prices have not done enough to pull acres to beans from the average corn soybean rotation. March bean futures 8¾ cents lower, 13.75. May beans fell 8¼ cents, 13.76 and a half. Nobe bean futures 11.86 and one half down 2½ cents. And we're still sitting around 2.5, 2.6 on that corn bean ratio right now, right, Chip?
Yeah, it's about 2.57, 2.58, something like that. So, yep. But it's not enough to bust Akers out of the rotation, not based right. on anything that we've talked about on the farmer forums with other producers. It's just not an – I don't know if we've done enough to get to 90 million acres, to be honest with you.
March cotton was 37 points higher, 88.73 today. December cotton up 8 ticks, 85.08. On the livestock side, February live cattle slipped 17.5 cents to 115.12.5. April cattle fell 122.5 to 122.92.5. March feeders down 22.5 cents to 128.20. And on the snout side, April lean hogs 2.5 cents higher, 84.92.5. June 2.5 cents higher, 92.65.
Chip. All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Oliver, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I tell you what, a 6 cent corn range seems pretty quiet compared to what we've seen. Remember last week at this time, we were talking about the average daily range for corn last week was 20, 22 cents. So nice to see some consolidation. I imagine options expiration probably has a little bit to do with that. We've seen a lot of money flow into the options and a lot of that premium getting evaporated. And wouldn't be surprised to see that kind of keep a lid on things ahead of the weekend as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and the other thing that's going on there, Oliver, is we're tightening up those ranges and taking some volatility out of the market. We're cheapening up the cost of the insurance product on the revenue production side as well. Wheat market, I wanted to talk to you about wheat. Don't know how closely you follow it, Oliver, but it looks like a dadgum pogo stick this week. What is going on?
It has been chopping all over the place. You know, it started off the week, winter kill yesterday. No, that was a non-issue. Today it seems to be an issue again, and the truth of the matter is we probably won't know for a while the effects of it. Now, as far as the technical basis goes, you're right, a pogo stick. Essentially, you know, for this May contract, we've been bouncing around 630 to 665. We're basically at the top end of that range and threatening a breakout, and that could potentially spur an additional momentum trade up towards those contract highs at 693, but a lot of resistance up here. We'll see how we trade into the weekend. If we close out above the top end, I think that opens the door. We've been kind of leaning on the bear side with the head and shoulders, but that head and shoulders formation has kind of faded into a sideways consolidation. Yeah. So I think the next couple of sessions will be very telling in setting the tune going forward.
Gotcha. I'm going to take you over to April live cattle here real quick. On Tuesday, we pushed up through resistance at 126 and at last week's highs. And then we followed it up with 2 days in a row of a high range open, low range close. I really don't like the feel of that.
Yeah, and we had a lot of premium coming in to this week built into the market with the weather concerns. And I think we're just seeing some healthy profit taking. And I've been telling guys, this is what we want to see. We've been pretty optimistic on the livestock sector, cattle and hogs, for the better part of the last 2 months. But we want to see these healthy corrections and pullbacks and a stair step higher. That's what sustains a bull market. The straight up parabolic moves are tough to sustain. So the stair step higher is appreciated. There's some good technical support, 120, 121. That was the breakout point from January 22nd, as well as support from February 1st.
Outstanding work, sir. Really good. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Yep. Take care.
You bet. That is Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. Okay, when we come back, like I said at the start of the show, we've got these Class 3 milk prices back to last fall's lows, and that's not where we want to be. This has been one of the craziest markets of 2020 and into early 21. We're talking dairy with Robin Schmall next. Hey everybody, Chip Flora here. I've got a great deal for you to tap into all the information at the 2021 Top Producer Summit. You don't have to travel. It's all online, and I'll pick up half the tab. That's right, because you listen to AgriTalk, Top Producer is working with us to take your fee from $150 down to $75. Use promo code AgriTalk when you register at tpsummit.com. It's a half-price deal only for AgriTalk listeners. Use promo code AgriTalk at tpsummit.com.
I don't know what you're thinking.
Nobody
does. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Attention, dairymen. If you've got a question about what's going on in your market, that is the thing to do today. Pick up the phone and give us a call. Davis, do you want to do the number or can I do it?
Why don't you go ahead? Why don't you go ahead?
It's 855-482-5524. That is 855-4-TALK-AG. Or, of course, you can tweet at us with a hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. All right. Let's get into this with the conversation. Robin Schmall from Ag Dairy LLC. Robin, it's been a while, but, man, I'm glad you're back on AgriTalk. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, but I'm a lot older than I was a year ago.
I tell you, hey, you know, you get those food box programs initiated every now and then, and you get those big pops in the markets. I don't know what's so hard about dairy. You just wait for the food box programs, right?
Yeah, what's so hard about dairy? Yeah, okay, well, I got some farms you could buy and find out.
Yeah, I believe you, man. I believe you. How was 2020 for you? Because it just when you think you get your risk management strategies all figured out, here comes another round of the food box, and it in many cases it blew those plans out of the water, didn't it?
Yeah. Let me. Well, we can rephrase that a little bit.
Okay.
Depending on what kind of a plan and what you implemented, because from our standpoint, we promoted floors.
Okay.
Okay, so your floor was, you know, protecting your bottom side. So when the markets exploded, the extreme volatility, the upside, okay, we took a higher price. But the difficulty that really shaped up this year was negative producer price differentials.
Right.
I mean, that just took everybody by surprise. So when you saw negative PPDs coming from like $3.80 down to over $7 off of your milk check on top of that, that hurt.
Right, right. And how often do you get into a situation where you've got negative PPDs?
Oh, you get them here and there. A lot of times you get them maybe in the summertime, but it's very minimal typically.
Right.
But, you know, back in 2019, they changed the pricing mechanism, which, it sounded good at that time. But, you know, when the rubber met the road this year, in 2020, it was not very good because it used to be priced off the higher of Class 3 or Class 4. Then it changed to a blend of Class 3 and Class 4, and that was the wrong thing because we had super high cheese prices and low butter prices, and it just exaggerated the whole situation.
Right, right. How much influence did those food box programs have? Because it just seemed like it turned into such huge cheese demand so quickly for the market to try to digest that it just resulted in some exceptionally wild price swings.
Yeah, it was a huge impact. Initially, we didn't think it would be such a huge impact, but
right.
When we had the initial with the COVID and the shutdowns, and what we had was a lot of cheddar cheese producers pull back on producing cheese, and they ended up selling lactose or something to try to, because there was no demand, you know, on the cheese side. And then when the food box program, the first one came into place, and you could say the second and third as well, but the first one had the most impact because now all these cheddar cheese manufacturers had to gear back up again because everybody wanted it.
Yeah.
Well, now they're a little bit behind the eight ball, and you know how that goes. It takes a little while to get that all back into position again. And so they just kept buying and buying and buying, running that cheese price up to a record high of $3.
Yeah.
And then the second one came in, you know, price jumped up, not quite as high, but it did push it a lot. Third one came in, big impact. Fourth one came in, it petered out. Now the fifth one came in, it's going lower.
Right.
So it's compensated for.
Yeah, it seems to be getting it figured out. The volatility that all created in the milk market and cheese prices, butter prices, right down the line, what did that do to dairy exports in the last year, and where do we stand right now? What's the outlook?
Well, it was really good for dairy exports overall. That was the surprising thing. I think in many people, when we're looking at the value of exports over the whole year of 2020, the export value was up 9.1%, and the total amount of exports on a milk solids basis was up 12.9%. So we had very strong exports in skim milk, powdered non-fat dry milk, very strong exports in dry whey, and that was a lot because of China rebuilding their hog herd.
Their hog herd. Right.
And they were importing dry whey like crazy. Butterfat actually ended up 7% for the year, which it was lagging quite a bit going into 2020. The two that didn't do bad, but they struggled from the previous year was cheese. It was down 0.1%, so kind of negligible.
Okay.
And whole milk powder was down 1.7%. But when you're looking at it as a whole, it did very well. So not only did our domestic demand increase in fluid milk consumption for a period of time,
right,
and in the movement to buy protein, you know, cheese was available, more eating at home, you know, and then the demand from the export market, it actually turned out pretty good. You could say it was kind to the industry based off the adversity. Mm-hmm. Now, the other standpoint is what really had a large impact was the government programs, which paid for losses and everything like that. So bottom line is we ended up with most of my customers and dairy producers that I know otherwise had a very good year, and they were looking for places to put money there so that they didn't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. You mentioned the fluid milk demand there, Robin. Did we find out that if families stay home and eat at home, they drink more milk at home? Is that what we found out?
It seems that way, just by the numbers going up. The other thing it seemed like is consumers had this idea that they needed to get something because of COVID and the possibility of getting it, and they didn't, were a lot of uncertainty surrounding that whole thing. They wanted to turn to something that would build up their, let's say, system. So they wanted to turn to something nutritional. So we saw a lot of growth in the dairy products as far as consumer demand. And you did see, you know, a fair amount turning to the beef and pork and things like that. You saw a dip for a while there in the demand for alternative drink products. So, you know, I hate to use the term milk, but alternative products, you know, they dipped back. And people were looking for something that was nutritious.
Oh, you're talking about like the almond products and oat products.
I hesitate to use the term milk on those.
I'm with you. Yep.
But now lately at the end of the year, though, we've slipped back from the previous year again with some of our you know, packaged fluid milk demand, which is kind of understandable. But, you know, as it was with toilet paper, you know, everybody wanted it.
Yep.
You know, we couldn't get enough in the stores. Milk was gone. People were buying it like crazy. Cheese was gone until finally, you know, the distribution and the whole industry figured that all out.
Yeah.
And people settled down.
It feels like we weathered the disruption to the school lunch program and the half-pint cartons of milk, and we weathered that disruption pretty well.
Yeah. Yep, it took a little period of time. You know, we had a lot of things that were packaged not for consumers in the retail.
Right.
And then the market had to, or the industry had to switch some of that stuff and then get that turned around. And it took a period of time, but the adjustments were made. And then they still continued a lot of these school programs yet, but you know, parents had to come into the school to pick up the food and blah, 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 you know, various different things that they put into play. But it took a little bit of that shock period in order for people to figure out what we need to do now in order to, you know, change with the demand.
Okay, Robin, let's wrap up the demand side of the conversation here quick. Optimistic for the year ahead or guarded?
Guarded.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm curious why.
He didn't even hesitate. He just guarded.
Yeah.
It's guarded because we have seen an exceptional growth in milk production.
Okay.
We've seen a growth in cow numbers, milk production per cow.
Yep.
And so
we've
got a lot of stuff running around or available right now as far as milk.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna talk the supply side of the market when we come back. We'll flesh out this demand question just a little bit more, but we're having a conversation with Robin Schmall from Ag Dairy LLC right here on AgriTalk. Hey, everybody. Chip Flory here. I've got a great deal for you to tap into all the information at the 2021 Top Producer Summit. You don't have to travel. It's all online, and I'll pick up half the tab. That's right, because you listen to AgriTalk, Top Producer is working with us to take your fee from $150 down to $75. Use promo code AgriTalk when you register at tpsummit.com. It's a half-price deal only for AgriTalk listeners. Use promo code AgriTalk at tpsummit.com. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Canadian producers are expected to boost canola plantings at the expense of wheat in the year ahead. Brazilian exporters remain optimistic that Brazil's soybean and corn exports could top year ago this month. Argentine government accuses some companies of holding back on production. They'll change your export rules and maybe they'll move them through the system. Saudi Arabia plans to reverse oil cuts as prices rise. Producer Syme Darby expects 2021 to be a respectably good year for palm oil. Transportation Secretary Buttigieg sets climate, race equity, and infrastructure priorities. And Biden's immigration overhaul will be and has been introduced in Congress today. Give ProFarmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. We are having a conversation about the dairy markets with Robin Schmall from Ag Dairy LLC. Before we get back to Robin, let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed with Davis.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat was 13 cents higher at 646.5. July soft red jumped 12.5 cents to 649.75. March corn futures 2.75 cents lower, 550.25. May corn down 1.75 to close at 549. March bean futures 8.75 cents lower, 1375. May beans down 8.25. 1376.5. March cotton 37 points higher, 88.73. April cattle fell $1.22.5 to 122.92.5. March feeders fell 22.5 cents, 128.20. And April lean hogs 2.5 cents higher, 84.92.5. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right, thanks, Davis. Robin Schmall, Ag Dairy LLC, is our guest today. We're talking the dairy markets. We've covered a lot of the demand side of it. I want to get over to the supply side now, Robin. What does the product inventory situation look like right now? Is there any area where the supplies are bulging on us?
Oh, yeah. The biggest area that is really seeing some impact is butter.
Okay.
Butter's at the last cold storage report, which came out, you know, December, for the month of December, showed butter 44% higher than last year.
Wow.
In inventory. And I'm estimating potentially, it's still hard to say yet, but the way churning has been active, the way butter fat has been available, we are seeing a pickup in exports. But I would have I'm almost thinking that we could almost see, you know, inventories from January compared to the previous January up 50%.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Robin, geez. That is shocking to me because butter is one of those products that when we got into the COVID disruptions, it was hard to find it on the shelf. And now we're talking, you know, in completely reversed situation.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, in the supply situation, I don't know. It's hard to say why that was the situation, because theoretically, there was a lot. The product was available, and yeah. I don't know if the industry didn't know what to do because food service was closed down, and some of the food service buys in the bulk butters, you know, and everything, and I really don't know. There was a lot of weird things that happened at that point in time, but the thing we've seen over the year is that a lot of times butter manufacturers will scale back to try to balance supply and demand, and they'll sell extra cream. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been hard to sell cream for quite a while now, so butter producers are churning. And so they're churning more than demand, and so the rest is going into inventory. Yeah. So it just keeps on building.
Wow. Wow. When's that going to be reflected in retail price, do you think? Or is it, I should say?
Well, probably not, or very little.
Right.
You have a wide range of prices for butter, depending on what store you go to and what brand you buy.
Right.
But
well, everybody's got their favorites.
Typically, yeah, typically it's hard for that stuff to change in the retail, but it's more quickly it changes if price goes higher.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can hear a lot of the dairy producers out there right now saying, listen, we don't need a lower price at the retail level. We just need to move more of that margin from the retail level all the way down the supply chain, get it back to the parlor and stick some money into the milk price.
Yeah,
interesting. What else on the inventory
okay,
or production
on the other side?
Side?
The cheese side. Okay, let's say on the cheese side, you know, American cheese in inventory, you know, that's what's traded on the CME on the daily spot market. And the thing that people need to understand about what's going on the daily spot market is that cheese is 30 days or younger. You can't just take six-month-old cheese and put it out there. It's 30 days or younger, and that's what got into the situation, you know, after we had the drop in COVID and then the rebound back up. You couldn't reach back into some of that inventory and pull some of that forward for the spot market. The spot market wanted fresh cheese, and that's what was put into the farmers to families food boxes, and that's where that created that whole situation. But so we've responded. The industry has responded. And in our December inventory report, we were 7% above the previous year. Now, the interesting thing about that is that both the month of November and December, American cheese inventories increased. That's unusual. Typically, we might move down in November, and then we might increase in December somewhat, or vice versa, but this time it did the other thing. We increased both of those months. I looked back 20 years. No, actually, I'm sorry. I looked back 40 years, and that's only happened two other years.
Oh, good grief.
So, okay. I mean, we can just make those comparisons. That's not necessarily going to say, okay, we're going to, you know, follow exactly that same path. But all it's saying is when we talk about butter inventory, we talk about cheese inventory, we talk about milk production, cow numbers, farmers respond, and they'll respond to better prices and or demand, and that's what's happened. And so what we're doing is we're pushing a lot right now. So we are seeing some good retail demand, slower food service demand. But if food service industry starts to pick up a little more, it'll reduce some of the retail demand. So there will be some give and take there.
Yep.
But the bottom line is we've had a profitable year for dairy producers. So they've stuck a lot of that money into improvements, cows, better management.
Yeah.
And we're
gotcha.
Producing more milk.
Gotcha. It sounds to me, going back to the end of the last segment, it sounds to me that it's the supply side of the market that's got you guarded on the price outlook going forward.
Yeah, and here's the other part of that. That's got me guarded, but you look back at December 21st, before Christmas. Okay, the stimulus bill was close to being introduced or was introduced. They put 15% more money to the SNAP program, and the market shot up. Okay, then it fell back. Then we had the Farm to Food Families fifth round announced January 4th. The market shot up. So traders always have a tendency to look back over their shoulder. They looked back at 2020 and said, oh, when we had a farm-to-family food box program or we had more government buying, look what happened. Prices shot up. So they moved the market. Well, that didn't work. Came down, moved the market. That didn't work. Then they talked about the next stimulus bill, moved the market. That didn't work. And so
I
all of that, if you look back from the beginning of this year already to where we are now, we've seen volatility, but we saw block cheese price today down at the lowest level it's been since May 12th of 2020. So we're not following that same pattern, which many had optimistic ideas that that was going to happen. They bought into the market. So I'm guarded because even with the increase in government buying or changes in demand back to food service and everything, we our production is compensated for all of that right now. And we're on track to see higher yet production at the current level we are. So the idea of the $12.40 swing we saw from high to low last year in Class 3 futures, anything can happen.
Right.
But the trajectory we're on right now keeps me really guarded that we're going to see a whole lot of volatility because government buying is going to tighten up supply.
Gotcha. Okay, couple of minutes left. What do we do with all of that, Robin? What's the risk management look like?
I'll say this just as a joke that I say to my customers, buy puts and pour concrete.
Yeah.
Cover the floor and add more cows. No, I'm not seriously.
I hear you. But I get what you're saying. At the same time, you got to put that price floor in there big time.
Yep. So we've done this for a couple of years already because we didn't want to limit the upside. And of course, even though you can say, well, you know, we spent some money on option strategies last year or dairy revenue protection insurance. I mean, the wild card was the negative PPDs, but we can't dwell on that and cry over negative PPDs because that doesn't look like that's going to happen this year. Using put options, put option spreads, because the options are so expensive, they will decline in value the longer we do not see quite as much volatility.
Right.
Or the dairy revenue protection insurance, which has been a great product, lay those floors in at levels when we see these bounces coming in prices, and then, you know, concentrate on your operation, producing milk. You know you've got equity covered, and you can sleep at night. That's going to be the key. I'm not promoting forward contracting because it locks you in at a price.
Yep.
I'm not promoting futures. Some people might like to do that, to lock in that price. That certainly is fine. But we come off of a good year. We want to make sure that we can capture upside in case something berserk happens again.
Yep.
So that we can be flexible with our marketing plan.
There it is. Got to maintain that flexibility. Robin, we've got to go. Thank you so much. That's Robin Schmall, AgDairy LLC.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
You know, my house has been making all kinds of weird noises, too.
Is that right?
I just attributed it to the cold. You know, I'll be laying there in bed, minding my own business, you know, reading. I usually read before bed.
Okay. All right.
And then I'll hear, like, crashing and creaking and, like, sort of this.
And
I just
then
figure
I,
it's.
And, it, and then I hear, get out of my house. And I just kind of figure it's the weather.
It's the weather, you know. It's I was built in 52. I don't know if it's that qualifies as an older house. pretty well built.
I would say it does.
She's solid, but she'll shift around on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm here in my beautiful late 70s ranch.
Oh, hello.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that all started there because my house is making sounds that I've never heard before, especially down here in the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out exactly what's going on. You know what? I took the bird feeder down.
Because,
because the turkeys I was going through bird feed like crazy. Yeah. I wonder if they're not, mounting some sort of a retaliatory attack out
you've
there
upset the
right
fauna
now.
Is what you've done. You've upset the fauna, Chip.
Well, you're not supposed to feed those things. That's what I kept telling my wife. Oh, just go ahead. Keep filling it. It's so cool. You're not supposed to feed those things. Come on. No, I'm not doing that.
Well, once you feed them, you never get rid of them.
You never get rid of them. And you may even tempt them into mounting some sort of attack. I don't think I like this.
Yeah, but one day, maybe they wind up in the freezer. So maybe it kind of fixes itself.
That's right. Okay.
Sounds like risk management is the name of the game in the dairy coming up here.
When we got to the end of the conversation, he brought in the word that I've been using every time we talk about risk management. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about grains or the meats or now dairy, flexibility. Mm-hmm. There are times, guys, where I will be the complete opposite of what I have been for the last few months. And I will be talking about just locking the price.
Yeah.
But I've been preaching flexibility in marketing plans. And all that means is the first explanation, definition of flexibility is the price floor. However you want to do it, put a price floor in there, whether it be with put options or you make the cash sale and replace it with a call option. Those are really the two strategies that get in my head when I think about maintaining some flexibility. Now, you can make the cash sale and re-own it in futures. That is exposing you to a little bit more risk. The reason I like a call option in that case instead of futures is because you at least know what the risk is when you get into it. If you are long futures, you don't know what the risk is. Just ask crude oil traders if commodities can go to less than zero. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which before that happened, I would have said, no, they can't.
Yeah. And then they would have said, well, just wait and see if they go negative.
Right.
What?
Right.
Negative.
Exactly.
It'll never happen.
Yeah, not going to happen. Right. The flexibility, I think it's so important, Davis.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The conversation did make a really nice little circle for us because if you recall, where we started was, man, for a while there, we thought everything's great in the dairy industry. Everything's fine. We're bulletproof, baby. Yeah, let's do it. Let the good times roll. And then, surprise, surprise, things kind of fell apart. And that
right. And, you know, the story, the summary that Robin was going through about how we got the last increase in funding for SNAP, we got the last round of food box, and the market tried to respond with a push to the upside, but it fell back. Tried to respond again, but it fell back. That's happening for two reasons. I shouldn't put them in any particular order because they're probably equally weighted or something like that. But on one hand, we're looking at a situation where the markets have become conditioned to the increases, the short-term increases in demand that are spurred by an increase in funding for SNAP, that are spurred by another round of the food box program. The other thing that is happening is that we've ramped up production enough that it has taken the short-term squeeze feel out of it when we do see those changes on the government policy. So it's almost a double whammy Market has become conditioned, and the industry has responded and built up production. So it's okay.
Let's take that one step further and make it real. We spoke with Ag Commissioner from Texas, Sid Miller this morning. Yep. Talked about him dumping milk. And I saw that story from other sources, too. Dumping milk in Texas just because they can't process it, they can't pasteurize it because they can't heat it, whatever. Does that do anything for us near term, do you reckon?
I think it can put some increased demand into the market, at least short term, to move product out of the Midwest, move product into that high population area to offset the processing that has been lost. Yes. Okay. Yes, I think it can. But that's gonna take an effort to shift supply from one part of the country into another.
Right.
If we're doing that with grain, it's like, get a train, load it up, move the corn, let's go. If you're doing it with things like cheese and fluid milk, that's a different situation, especially with fluid milk. National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook February 24th through the 28th has got normal to above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt, above normal temperatures over most of the belt, the central and the eastern areas, and we've got above normal precipitation running through the middle of the belt into the eastern Corn Belt as well. So little relief coming is what that sounds like to me. All right, for Davis and producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thanks for listening today. Tomorrow morning, Free for All, Wiesmeyer Haney and Iowa farmer Bob Hemesath. Tomorrow afternoon, Brian Splatt, AgMarket.net.